Howdy, roofers, and welcome to Roofer Growth Hacks, the podcast that's dedicated to highlighting those in the roofing industry, learning how they overcame their growth challenges with creative growth hacks and connecting them with others in the roofing industry. I'm your host, Chris Hunter, founder and chief marketing officer of RoofingSites.com. I'm also the author of The Ultimate Guide to Digital Marketing for Roofers. Well, I got a little story for you. Eric Fortenberry is the CEO of JobTread Software, a software that he built from the ground up to help contractors scale their businesses a lot easier by putting job budgeting and costing in their hands. Since 2019, Eric has grown to having 2,500 contracting companies on their software and is looking to scale up to 4,000. He is helping everyone get more profitable and scalable. So be sure to listen up as Eric shares some really awesome growth hacks. Well, roofers, we have a special episode here. I've got a friend of mine, Eric Fortenberry with JobTread Software, coming on today. Eric, thank you so much for joining us here on Roofer Growth Hacks.
Awesome. Appreciate you having me on.
All right. So let's start with the first question, the easy one. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and your entrepreneurial journey, and tell us a little bit about JobTread and where did it start? Where is it now? How does the software help contractors?
Yeah, absolutely. Again, my name is Eric Fortenberry. I'm the founder and CEO of JobTread. So I actually built out the first version of JobTread when I was running a construction company. This is back in 2018. Essentially had a lot of challenges kind of scaling the business, managing all of the jobs that we had going on, the whole estimating, accurately bidding out our jobs. And then once we won the jobs, having that clear scope, that clear handoff with the project managers, with the subs that we were using, just really kind of struggled with being organized and just kind of lack systems and processes. And so it was a buddy of mine's company. He asked me to come in and help him figure out how to scale the business. And we ended up building out JobTread like out of a needs basis. I took over that company in 2018. When I first went in there, we were doing about $5 million in sales, ended up growing it to $8 million, increased their gross profit by 43%. And so obviously made tremendous growth and improvement on that. And then in 2019 was when I recruited some of my developers and designers from my last software company. And we essentially kind of rebuilt everything, set it up to be able to scale it, provide it to multiple companies, started selling it in 2022 or 2021, ended up with about 200 customers. 2022, we got to around 1,000. Last year, we're 2,200. This year, our goal is 4,000. So we've had really kind of very nice growth. But again, at the end of the day, our goal is to provide construction companies with a system that can help them to better manage all of their jobs, to help them build a better, more profitable business that can help them scale. Essentially, just consider this kind of that all-in-one construction estimating project management software solution for any construction-based business. If you're running jobs, you're having to go custom bid out those jobs, this is the tool for you.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So why don't you dig into a little bit of what everything does? Like what are the main features of the software of JobTread?
Sure. So really like the foundation of this thing got built out with our budgeting tool. What I found when I went and I took over that construction company was that I wanted to figure out like why are we so kind of wildly hitting our target profit margin? Sometimes we're making money, sometimes we actually even lost money. I wanted to understand like how could that be? And so I started shadowing the estimators and trying to figure out, well, how are they coming up with the price? And what I found was that some of them were just pulling numbers out of thin air. Some of them were kind of doing a little back of the envelope, kind of writing down all their costs, and then they were applying a markup to it. And then one guy, the owner, actually understood the difference between markup and margin. And so he was using a 30% profit margin to calculate the price. And so at the end of that, kind of just shadowing them and really learning how they're doing it, I realized that I needed to give them a tool where they could essentially build out and put together all of the costs that were going to go into this project. And then we would automatically calculate the price using we were targeting a 30% profit margin at that point. And so I told the guys, look, come up with all of the materials, the labor, permits, like if you need equipment, whatever it may be, get all of that into this budget tool. And then I wanted them to focus on documenting a very clear and detailed scope of work that we could then use to generate our proposal, make sure that we were on the same page with the customer. And then ultimately, once we did win that job, be able to hand that off to the project managers and to the field crew. And so this budget tool is really kind of the foundation of what is now JobTread. And so everything starts with building out your budget and generating your proposals, your estimates, you know, whatever you want to call it. And then after that, it allows you to just seamlessly right there with that same budget, now start doing all of your job costing. sending out work orders and purchase orders, managing all the vendor billing, your subs bills, even showing all the hours if you got employees that are clocking in and out. We realize that it's one thing to be able to sell the job, but it's a whole nother thing to be able to actually execute and run that job and hit those target profit numbers. And so having the job costing was an extremely important aspect of it. That again, related back to the budget and then ultimately invoicing as well. We're big on kind of collect upfront and along the way, being able to send out deposit requests, progress invoices, final invoice, collecting all those payments through JobTrade is huge, but it all ties back to the budget. And so that tool is the thing that I've never seen in any other software. It's interactive. On any one line item, you can click and open it up and see everything that, how did you get there? On anything, like let's say like you're over budget, it shows up in red. You know, we're throwing the flag as early as we can to give you the best chance to be able to course correct. Maybe you need a change order. Maybe you need to renegotiate with your supplier. Maybe there's cost on here that shouldn't be on here. We wanted to make sure that you had all of that information in one place. And so ultimately that budget tool is the framework to financially manage all of your jobs. Aside from that, you got a bunch of the project managing, scheduling, Gantt charts, being able to have daily logs, where your crews can upload photos, videos, kind of showing the progress of their work, being able to just kind of track everything else around the job is also very important and part of the system as well.
That's super cool. So I got to ask, right? You said that you worked for your buddy's company, right? And you started with the base of all of this, right?
Yeah.
And it seems like it's grown a lot over, what'd you say, since 2018, right?
Yeah, so we started in 2019, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, how do you get feedback on what features that you're going to add, I guess, to the software?
That's a great question, because really, ultimately, at this point, we don't believe that we have to solve all of the problems. At the end of the day, we view all of our customers as our partners. We've really made this a very community-driven, you know, collaborative effort for us to continue building out JobTrade. And so every single customer, when they sign up for JobTrade, they've got a dedicated customer success manager who is essentially going to be their point person, is going to help them with all the implementation, training, support, whatever they need. They've got a direct phone number, email. They can schedule Zoom calls with them, hop on to their office hours. And so they're a great way to collect a lot of feedback. Now, we've also got obviously kind of an inbound support team that collects a lot of information. But I would say really ultimately the best thing that we've done is we've created this Facebook group called JobTrade Pros. And so we've got thousands of users in there where it's a really awesome community of people that are helping each other. They're throwing out ideas, questions, feature requests. And so it enables me and my team to really engage and hear, you know, from everybody about what they like, what they don't like, what ideas they have, how can we improve it? We're very actively soliciting feedback. I will say that group kind of, as it's grown, you know, to several thousand members, has kind of gotten a little bit harder for us to track all the feature requests. So what we did about a year ago is we created a feature request board directly in our help desk within the application that allows all of our customers to go in there. They can search and kind of find whatever they may be looking for. If someone's already created that feature request, they can upvote that, they can submit their ideas and let us know a little bit more about how would this benefit you? Why would you know you like this feature? Or they could create a new one. And then once that gets approved, others can go vote on it. And all of that features, all of those votes and that feedback directly feeds into our software developers' development tools where we can see firsthand how many of our users have voted on that. It really helps us to prioritize our development. Because at the end of the day, we want to make sure that everything we do is going to benefit the most number of customers, the most number of users. At the end of the day, we want to build the best tool for the construction industry as a whole. And so really, we take that feedback and we listen to it and we take action based on what the most people are asking for.
So have you seen like trends on people underestimating and stuff like that? I mean, what's the biggest trend that you guys have seen?
Yeah, I mean, hands down, like the number one thing that I see with contractors is like not knowing your numbers, not having a good handle on what are your costs, what is going to go into every project, how to accurately price that. I mean, it's hands down the biggest issue that I see people struggling with. And again, when you're early on, you're just getting into it, it's easy to just kind of come up with some price and see if you can sell it, see what sticks. But that's not how you build a scalable business. Like you really have to dial in your numbers, your profitability, making sure that you're hitting that target goal, whatever it may be, got to have a target and you've got to be able to track that to see where you're making money, where you're losing money. That helps you continually improve your costing, your pricing. At the end of the day, like if you continue to make the same mistake over and over, you're not growing, you're not improving. I'll give you one example. So when I first took over that company, I ended up just studying all of the data that we had. And again, it was kind of all over the place. Some of it was in QuickBooks, some of it was in all these spreadsheets. Like we really struggled to kind of, again, organize all of that. But what I found was that every time we sold a fencing job, we were actually losing 10 to 12%. Wow. And again, I'm like, how in the world does this happen? Turned out that we actually just never updated our cost of the material. And we were just using outdated information and we never stopped and took the time to analyze how do we perform on those jobs. And so thus we just kind of kept making the same mistake over and over, expecting a different outcome. But there was a fundamental issue from the very get-go. And so that's why it's so important that you track all of your numbers, all of your performance. You take the time to meet with your project managers, meet with your team. How do we perform on each and every job? And what can we do better next time? But that's going to help you continually improve and take your business to the next level.
Love that. Love it. So just remind me, what is the best type of company that can use JobTread?
We have specifically designed JobTread to work for any jobs-based business. So if you're selling construction jobs, again, whether you're a home builder, a remodeler, a roofer, a plumber, a deck builder, pool builder, like we have specifically designed it to be flexible so that it can meet the needs of various types of companies within the construction and kind of service area. It's something that we realized that we didn't want to hard code things. We didn't want to kind of just pigeonhole ourselves into one niche. We wanted to build a tool that was flexible enough that it could meet the needs. And so a lot of JobTread, it's extremely powerful how you can customize it. You can create, you know, custom fields. You can customize all the statuses, create your own views and reports. This is what enables it to work for so many different types of businesses, regardless what type of work you're actually doing.
Love it. So what advice would you give to people just starting out on with your software? What's like the biggest thing that they need to tackle right away?
I would say that the first and foremost, I mean, anytime you're going to implement any new software, you need to make sure that you dedicate the time to learning the software, going through the training or leveraging whatever resources that the company may provide, whether it's their trainers, support team, just help desk. Take the time to go in and learn about it. You have to have a plan for how you're going to implement it. And then once you do get it implemented, once you figure out kind of who is your owner, who's going to kind of own this new solution, this new software, once they're up to speed, then having them train everybody else. Make sure that your entire team has bought into it. They understand how to use it. And again, you may find that some people are more resistant to change than others. And again, same situation for me when I built this out. A couple of the guys I got some pushback from. And so I went and I spent extra time. I sat down with them and said, hey, tell me about your current processes. Like, what is frustrating you? What do you feel like you could do better? Like, where are the bottlenecks? And like, I took that information and said, okay, now look, if I can show you a better way, are you going to be willing to check it out and have an open mind? And they're like, yeah, but you're not going to find a better way. And I was like, okay, fine. Let's see. And come back later and it's like, hey, check this out. I took all your feedback, came up with this process that I think might work a little bit better for you. It just taking the time to really help make sure that each and every person understands the why behind it. Why are you implementing this new software? Like, it's going to help you, you know, build a better business. It's going to help you scale the company. It's going to help you improve your customer satisfaction, increase profitability, all of the different things that you may be kind of those pain points that you're trying to solve. Make sure that everybody on the team understands that. And I've learned too, like, there's two ways that you can get change. You can either force it on people, or you can try to kind of get their buy-in and make them feel part of the process. And obviously the second way is a much better way to go about it. And so I'd say involving your stakeholders, your end users early on, doing those demos, making them part of the process is a great way to get their buy-in. And then ultimately they can become your champions. The guy who pushed back the most on me when I was building this, he ended up becoming my biggest champion who would go around and get mad at everybody else if they didn't put their schedules in or they didn't, you know, do something within the system because it was affecting him. And so he went from my biggest naysayer to my biggest advocate. And so again, that just goes to show how important it is that you very strategically and methodically implement new software, because otherwise you could just be wasting your time, your money. It's all about making sure that you're maximizing the value of that. And you do need to take the time to learn it.
Yeah, absolutely. Love that. And by the way, this is all resonating with me because we're looking at a new system for our agency. And so we're looking at all those exact things that you're talking about here. So going back to what we were talking about earlier of you noticed that people weren't updating their costs and so forth, right? With the fencing example that you gave us, how often should you be updating those costs?
Yeah, again, I'm a big proponent of you got to figure out in kind of whatever cadence it makes sense for you. But like at the end of the week or every other week or end of the month, like you got to take the time to do performance reviews. Analyze how did you perform on that job? That's going to really help you spot where, again, you may be underbidding something. You may have inaccurate numbers. Maybe you're underestimating how long it's going to take for your crews to do something. I mean, for us, like I ended up finding through this process that some of the crews that we were using were pretty good about hitting kind of that target, how long they said it was going to take and how much they were going to charge us. But some of the others were just like, it was just all over the map, or we were always just way underperforming with them. And actually went out, and if you've ever seen like Undercover Boss, I started following around some of our crews. And this one time, I'll never forget this. Like, so I show up at the job site at 8 a.m. and I'm wondering where in the world the crew was. They're supposed to start work at 7, but they don't show up till closer to 9. And, wow. And I found out that they went to Home Depot. They essentially went and had to pick up the materials, do all the shopping. So all in that one, like I should have had the materials already on the job site, ready to go, or at least pre-ordered. Fine, I'll take that one. But then at around 11 o'clock, they realize they need more materials. And so they have to go back to Home Depot. And so instead of calling the office, calling the project manager, sending one person, literally all three of them decide to get in the truck and go back over to Home Depot. And so I'm sitting there and like, they have no idea. I'm watching. I'm scratching my head and like, what in the world's going on? The customer's also sitting there watching, same thing, wondering what's going on. So they get back to the job site, call it around 12. Of course, now it's lunchtime. So now we got to take another hour break for lunch. And I kid you not, around 2:30 that afternoon, all three of them go back to Home Depot for a third time that day. And this is when like I just realized like, wow, like we are not aligned in how we're managing this job. The expectations aren't right. Something's not right. Customer calling me just all sorts of pissed off. Like, what the hell's going on? Guys hadn't done anything. They keep leaving. They're just sitting down on the, like, he's wondering what is happening here. And so I'm like, calm him down. But what I really realized and what I learned again through this experience is that we were misaligned with how we were running these jobs. We were selling the job as a fixed price, but we were running it with a variable cost. We were paying our guys time and material. We were paying them by the hour or by the day. And so there was no way that we were going to be able to hit our target profit margins, at least not consistently, because we had that variable cost. Yeah. And so for us, that was when I realized I needed to introduce the bid request tool where we could now, instead of, again, just letting people show up and having a daily rate or whatever it may be, we now required them to start bidding on the jobs. They had to tell us how long it's going to take them, how much they're going to charge. And we would then lock that in. We would take that, whatever that cost was, put it into the budget, add our margin, send it to the customer. And once they approved it, awesome. We could just one click convert that bid request into a work order. So that way, if the guys told us it was going to take them 5 days and let's just say $10,000, I've already got that built right into the job. And you know what? If they get it done in 3 days, awesome. More power to them. They get to move on to the next job. They're still getting paid the same amount. But if it takes them 7 days, man, that's on you. Like you need to get it done or you're not getting paid. You're still getting paid that same amount. Now, barring any change orders or unforeseen circumstances that would come in and change that work order, that scope of work there. And the funny thing is when we made this adjustment, we immediately saw not only we were more accurately budgeting our jobs, pricing our jobs, but we actually saw an increase in the quality and the accuracy and the speed at which the guys were getting the job done. And so why was that? Well, because they realized that they were no longer going to be able to just be sent back out to the job and keep getting paid more and more. They quit dragging their feet. They quit dragging this on. They wanted to get the job done right the first time so that they could move on to the next job and make more money. And like this, again, it was a huge transition for us that helped us to lock in our cost. And that ultimately helped us to also achieve that target profit margin. So all that to say, like, it's so important that you understand and you track your financials for every job to figure out where are the opportunities to improve. How can you streamline that? How can you make sure that you hit those target goals? And not just kind of wait until you've sent out all the invoices, you've paid all the bills, 30, 40, 60 days later, you come to figure out, we didn't hit our target profit margin. We only made half of that. Or We only broke even. Like, you can't wait until the very end of the job. You got to do it in real time. And that's where leveraging work orders and purchase orders and doing the job costing is so important.
Yeah. So is there someone that you recommend to like do that in the organization? Is that part of like operations? Is that a project management role? Whose role is that?
That's a really great question. At the end of the day, like the size of the company is ultimately what's going to determine that. I mean, if you're a solo owner operator and it's just you, you're wearing all the hats while the buck stops with you. If you do have project managers, or even maybe you just have one operations manager, maybe that falls with them. As you grow, as you're able to hire some more of the back office, you've got your accounts receivable, accounts payable, some sort of a back office accounting person, like it could be them. But at the end of the day, somebody needs to do it. And you can't just like, you can't just think, oh, it's just all going to work out. Like, again, when I started looking at the back office and how we're managing all of our accounts receivable, accounts payable, I found that like basically that she was just coming in and she got bills in and she was just plugging them into QuickBooks and we're just paying them out. There was no approval process. There was no like, hey, is that what we were expecting? Like we were double paying bills. We were overpaying bills. Like we had cost on jobs that it made no sense at all. And so like, that's where it's so important that you put in place systems and processes to be able to manage that. It felt like we were like just bleeding out everywhere, like death by a thousand cuts. And so when we implemented like a system, we're basically like that back office lady who every time she got a bill, we required every single bill that came in to have a work order, purchase order number, or is just immediately flat out rejected. If it did not reference the work order, purchase order, like then just send it back, reject it, not going to pay it. And by having that on there, that allowed her to quickly look up and say, hey, here's what we had agreed to pay them. Here's what we committed out of our budget for this. If they match, and if they're under a certain threshold, then great. It was automatically approved. We didn't need to screw around with a bunch of small things that matched up. We knew they were good to go. But if it didn't match, or if that bill amount was over a certain threshold, then that's when she would enter it as a draft, wait for the project manager to review and approve, and then we would push those through. But implementing this process, it just streamlined so much, and it helped us to find and plug all of those bleeders so that we could really make sure that we're honed in and we're only paying out what we had agreed to pay out, what we expected to pay out. And again, it stops so much of the losing money left and right.
Yeah, that's so awesome. So kind of looking forward into the industry, are there any trends that you see contractors and roofing company owners should be looking at, and how do they take advantage of those trends?
I think one of the things that is just continuing to come front and center is the importance of involving the homeowner, the end customer, whoever kind of your customer is, like having professional proposals, having well-branded materials, being responsive. I mean, everybody knows there's tons of contractors out there, but half of them show up, talk to you for a little bit, say they're going to send you a quote, never do. You got to chase them down, or maybe they're giving you just some chicken scratch on a piece of paper, like no detail, not thought out. That is what people are trying to avoid these days. Like, you need to make sure that you're easy to work with. You're always branding your company. You're responsive to the homeowners. Again, if you go out to the job site, or whether you do it or you do it over the phone, like be responsive. And I'm not saying like just cut corners and just send them something. Like, take the time to make sure that you've built out an accurate budget and you're sending them a proposal that you're prepared to do that work on, but do it in a manner that be the first to respond. People buy from people they like, people that are easy to work with. Give them the ability to do the e-signature. Make it easy for them to become a customer. If you're still sending them some email PDF where they got to download it, print it, sign it, scan it, re-upload it, email it back to you, like, again, that is not the way. Just make it easy for them. I mean, if you're out on the job site, again, whip that proposal out, let them sign it right there on your tablet or your phone, like, make it easy. And it's just so important. And then once they do become a customer, like I tell people, like, you've got to always be striving to earn 5 stars. Make sure that you are doing everything in your power to provide a great customer experience. At the end of the day, like, that is what was helping to take the companies who are doing a great job and continuing to propel them and to keep sending them, you know, more leads and more customers, is because of those experiences. And it's because that you've got customers who are satisfied and they're willing to go and give you that 5-star review. They're willing to be a reference. They're willing to let you record a video testimonial of them on the job site. Like, make sure that you focus on that customer experience. And with JobTrade, like, we have a customer portal where, again, like, you can decide how much information you want to share, but like, showing them the schedule, being transparent, showing them where you're at with the job, letting them see some of the files and the progress work, having that communication with them is again, it's going to lead to a much better customer experience. And a lot of times people are very short-sighted in thinking that this only matters for this one customer. That's not the case. That one customer can share their experience, whether it's a good one or a bad one, and that can have, you know, tremendous effect on your business into the future. So really, like, I'm seeing a big focus on that these days. And again, with Google, with all the search engines, the ability to have things go viral, it's so important that you always, from the very get-go, try to provide that best customer experience that you can.
I love that. Absolutely love that. And that's something that I've heard over and over and over again here on Roof for Growth Hacks, is focus on the experience. So that hits right on. So we're going to take a pause here to listen to a message from our sponsor, RoofingSites.com. Since 2018, RoofingSites.com has helped roofers double their sales by getting their marketing right using the 4R roofing marketing system. If you're a roofing company owner wanting to grow your business, be sure to go to RoofingSites.com and sign up for a roofing marketing strategy session with me. Okay, and we're back for the lightning round. Lightning round rules are simple. You have 1 minute or less to answer each question. You ready, Eric?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
Awesome. Okay, so number one, what is your favorite personal hack? And this could be a book, a podcast, whatever. Anything goes here.
Favorite personal hack? I would say every single morning when I'm driving into the office, I'm taking the time to think about, what are my three big rocks? What are the biggest things that I need to accomplish that day? I get 1,000 things thrown at me every single day. And so for me to have that list already prepared, knowing what do I want to accomplish before I walk out of that office that day, it helps me to continually kind of go back, focus on those things, make sure that if I get squirreled and go down some path that is not one of my big rocks, then I put it on a list and I come back to focusing on making sure I achieve, you know, those three things that I set out for the day.
Absolutely love that. All right. So now, what is your favorite business hack? This could be, again, a book, a podcast, a hack, whatever. Anything goes here.
I would say one of my favorite books, I've bought a ton of these copies for everyone in our office, is Marcus Sheridan's They Ask, You Answer. It's all about, again, in this day and age, like, being extremely transparent. Any and every question that a prospect or customer is asking you, take that, come up with a list of all those top 10 or top however many, and publish articles, blog posts, create videos. Like, just, again, be open, transparent, share that information. And even if it's the things that you can't do or the things that you don't do well, if you're getting asked those things, who are your competition? Like, just put it all out there and be transparent with your customers. For us, it's been huge. We used to have kind of just internal customer only, like, town halls. And then I read this book. I was like, man, like, why are we sitting here only doing these for customers only? Like, if you're doing anything because you're scared of your competition, you're really making a big mistake. And so we opened up all of our town halls to the entire market. Anyone out on the internet can join in, can listen, and it's made a tremendous impact and helped us continue to grow. So definitely check out Marcus Sheridan's book, They Ask, You Answer.
Love that. Absolutely love that. All right. So what is the best advice that you've been given, and how have you applied it?
My father, early on in my first software company, told me, Eric, you can't boil the ocean. You've got to really figure out what you can do well and focus on that. Everything else is, if you're only going to do it mediocre, it's just not worth doing at all. And as much as I struggled with this for a long time, because I'm just like, oh, challenge accepted, I'm going to figure out how to boil that ocean. Like, he was absolutely right. You got to really figure out, like, what are you able to do great? What is your focus? Like, what, you know, niche do you want to do? And then just make sure that you do that great. And everything else, put it aside. And again, just like, whether you're analyzing the types of customers you're working with, the types of jobs you're doing, whatever it may be, like, just have a handle on what can you do great and go focus on that.
Love that. Absolutely love that. All right. Next question. How can the Roofer Growth Hacks family get in touch with you, and how can we support you and encourage you moving forward?
Yeah, I'd say basically we're super accessible all over social media, Facebook, LinkedIn, you know, however you want to connect. Our website is a great place for you to be able to learn more. We've got tons of videos on there, as well as on our YouTube channel. I think we're like almost like 300 videos on our YouTube channel. You can go learn. I'd also encourage you, I mean, if you want to learn how JobTread could benefit your company, like, you can schedule a demo right from our website. We are happy to take the time to walk you through JobTread and make sure it's going to be a great fit for you. We also have a 30-day money-back guarantee. So some people like to just skip the sales demo and dive right in. Again, you'll have that customer success manager, everybody on our team, both on the sales and the customer success side, has construction experience. So we're happy to work with you either which way to make sure that you're able to get JobThread up and running. How can you support us? I mean, I would say just continue to spread the word. Our biggest challenge is awareness. A lot of people, they come to us like, how did I not know about you guys? Well, again, we're still, I consider us a small business. I mean, we've got almost 30 employees now and 2,500 customers. But until this year, we hadn't run any ads. We hadn't, done very much kind of marketing. You know, we went to a lot of trade shows, but it's really been a lot of word of mouth. And so to the extent that on social media and part of your networking groups, wherever it may be, just help continue spreading the word, create awareness about JobThread, and that'd be the best thing that you could do for us.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Eric, for coming on here and sharing all these great value bombs that I've wrote a whole ton of notes down here. Really do appreciate you coming on and sharing all that wisdom with Roofer Growth X.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Well, how about that, Roofers? Was that awesome or what? There were some very valuable hacks that Eric shared with us. I would say my favorite one was that to focus on customer experience. This is something that we've heard over and over and over again this season on Roofer Growth Hacks. And I 100% agree with that. The other stuff that he talked about that I starred here was knowing your numbers. It is super important to know your numbers, because if you're bidding out on jobs and then you're making that same mistake again and again, like he talked about with the fencing projects that they were taking on and they were negative 12% margins, I mean, that's not good, right? So make sure that you're reviewing those numbers on a regular basis. Make sure that you look at every single job, right? And make sure that you look at every single job and ensure that you're actually profitable. I mean, that's one of the biggest parts of being in business, right? So I would say just make sure that you do that. Best advice, I love that. You can't boil the ocean. And that's true. And this is true for if you're going to look to, employ the software here with JobThread, is that you want to make sure that you're biting one thing off at a time and ensuring that you're doing that correct, okay? And doing it the best that you could possibly do that. This also goes for just jobs, right? And making sure that you're doing your jobs as best as you possibly can. Well, that's going to do it for another episode of Roofer Growth Hacks. I hope you enjoyed this episode and that you connect with Eric online. Make sure that you go to LinkedIn or Instagram or YouTube or to their website and make sure that you connect with them. I also hope that you connect with me on LinkedIn or Instagram or Facebook or wherever that you see us. We are everywhere, man. Go to youtube.com and you're going to see all sorts of videos and our podcast right here to be able to listen to those. I want to give a huge shout out to our sponsor, RoofingSites.com. Since 2018, RoofingSites.com has helped roofers double their sales by getting their marketing right using the 4R roofing marketing system. If you are a roofing company owner wanting to grow your business, be sure to go to RoofingSites.com and sign up for a roofing marketing strategy session with me. Also, this past year, I published my book, The Ultimate Guide to Digital Marketing for Roofers. If you're a roofing company owner and you don't have this book in your hands, I will send this to you for free. Just go to go.roofingsites.com and I will send you a free copy of my book. Well, roofers, join me next time when we connect with another great roofing entrepreneur and learn how they hack their growth. Until then, I'm Chris Hunter. Thanks and gig 'em.